one out loud to yourself 7 times, imagining the words entering you, breaking up the toxicity that has accumulated, and flooding all the toxic, negative emotions out of you, onto the floor beneath your feet, being pulled into the fiery core of the earth and transmuted. Then, after the toxicity has been released, visually see these holy words being encoded into your consciousness so you can see them in your mind's eye. Breathe them in and affirm that this is your new reality. This process is you telling the universe that you are ready and truly committed to transforming your inner world and reconnecting with your most magnificent self, your holiness. Encode me. Dear God, I am open to receiving your brilliance and your light. Rearrange my cells. Let me think, speak, and act from my holiest self. Let me be a vessel filled with you, my Lord. I am yours. Section 4. Healing your whole heart. Healing your holy pain. Dear God, kiss me when I am sad. Hug me when I am alone. Comfort me when I am grieving. Whisper sweet words in my ears when I need encouragement, and cheer me on as I go after my dreams. Life presents us with countless opportunities to awaken our divine nature. Most often, the opportunities appear during times of great distress. It is during these times that we have the chance to explore our inner world and begin the holy process of becoming intimate with our entire self, our light as well as our darkness, our wins as well as our losses, our blessings as well as our disappointments. Pain allows us to break through the impenetrable walls and heavily guarded defenses that keep old habits, behaviors, and thought patterns intact. Pain pushes us past our limited thinking and opens us up to new thoughts, ideas, and realities. Pain forces us to question our behaviors, our choices, and our beliefs about life, and then to seek answers from places we've never looked before. It's our soul's way of opening the mind and heart to new ideas that will be the key to uncovering new realities. Realities that support personal evolution. Realities that will bring more joy, happiness, and contentment than we ever thought possible. Our pain, when digested and embraced, becomes our personal assistant, inspiring new beginnings and ultimately leading us to emotional freedom and reconnection with our holiest self. A wisdom story has been passed down of a yoga master who once said that you will learn more in 10 days of agony than in 10 years of contentment. He explained that pain can be your greatest teacher, a friend telling you what parts of your life need attention, a spiritual wake-up call. He asked that you imagine being sound asleep when you are suddenly awakened by the fire alarm in your bedroom. Startled, you jump out of bed, run to the closet, and take out a baseball bat, smashing the alarm to pieces until it stops ringing. But then, instead of looking for the fire, you put the bat back in the closet, crawl back into bed, and go to sleep. Pain is an alarm calling you to wake up. It's a warning signaling you that there is something that needs your attention right now. It's a loud internal noise telling you that an emotional fire rages close by, that something within you needs care and healing. If you want to keep open the channels through which God can enter, you must stay awake and tend to the flames that prevent you from basking in the gentler warmth of inner peace. If we tend to our pain, we will be guided back to a place of peace and tranquility, of love and serenity. Pain is the sacred emotion that allows us to discover who we really are outside our ego structure. It leads us to places we would never go on our own. I remember the moment when I realized my first marriage would not last. And despite the fact I had promised myself I would never get divorced, that reality was now inevitable. For some, the ending of a marriage may not seem catastrophic, but for me, it was. This was in part because I had waited until I was 38 years old, until I found the perfect man with whom I could create the perfect life, and in part because I had promised myself that I would never do to my son what had been done to me. I had wanted him never to live with the pain of a broken family. But here I was, faced with the devastating reality that my greatest fear would be realized and the end was near. Although it took me many months of processing my deep emotional turmoil, as soon as I was willing to open up, to learn the lessons hidden within this painful circumstance, to see what life was calling on me to do and become, I got a message from the universe that quite literally made me who I am today. The message was that I was to heal my heart completely and then use the wisdom I had gained to contribute to others. The message was very specific. I needed to write a book called Spiritual Divorce. When I got quiet in my meditations and began to pray for understanding and relief, I saw that I was being asked to learn how to let go, how to forgive, and how to create two families who share one heart. Following this divine guidance led me to become a writer, a teacher, and a coach, to train other coaches, and to claim my destiny as a leader in emotional education around the world. If it weren't for the intensity of my pain, I would have continued on the job I had been in. 6 books later, I am still in the miraculous presence of what happens when we are willing to face and embrace our emotional pain. When we are willing to step into the storm and explore uncharted territories, we visit places we would never visit on our own. The moment we are able and willing to see the gifts of our pain and extract the wisdom from our wounds, our pain becomes sacred and holy, and we are able to open up to previously unimaginable futures. Our inner turmoil is meant to be a powerful catalyst to reconnect us with our divine nature, our holiness. Whether we like it or not, pain will propel us into a journey of self-discovery and urge us to learn how to love and accept the totality of who we are. Facing and deeply healing our emotional turmoil delivers us freedom from pain and prevents us from repeating the patterns of our past. It's imperative that we use times of crisis and pain as opportunities to heal. Healing is the primary path returning us to a place where we see the perfection of our humanity and reunite with our holiness. It is this profound awareness that gives us the opportunity to return to the deepest connection available to any one of us, our connection with our divine creator. The prayer that I used to recite daily for over 5 years down on my hands and knees is a prayer I fell in love with from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, known as the Third Step Prayer. It was my friend, my nanny, my lover, and my guide. It helped me separate from the pain while I was trying to understand the workings of my inner world. If you don't know it, spend a few minutes contemplating this timeless prayer, allowing yourself to grasp the implications of each verse, the meaning of each word. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do thy will always. When we are relieved of the bondage of self, we are able to rise above our pain, lay down our internal weapons, and head down the path of freedom. When we use our heartache to help another, we are healed. This prayer is simple, to the point, potent, and life-changing. Use it and let your victories become someone else's lifeline. Lift me up where I belong. Let the wings of the angels lift me out of my earthly problems. Let me feel the gentle embrace of divine skies. Today I ask for the blessings of the higher realms. I ask that just for this moment, I know nothing but the precious present. I know with you by my side, Divine One, I can get through anything. I know that you would never give me anything that I could not handle. So I claim my right to pass through this dark time with grace and ease. I claim the power within me and outside me to soothe my aching heart. I choose now with the grace and beauty of a soaring eagle to hand over my heavy heart in exchange for the lightness of a holy heart. Thank you in advance for the love that I feel. Thank you now for helping me lift my burden. The internal war. Let me lay down my arms. Let me surrender my weapons. Let my heart make room for all that I am. Let the treaty begin. The outer world, in all of its beauty and horror, is a mirror for each one of us. It is the macrocosmic reflection of our microcosmic interior life. Maybe you've noticed that there's a war going on inside. It's the age-old human conflict between our emotional, mental, and spiritual selves. It's the fallout of the ego's fear. It has us believe that we are divided, that we can separate from these seemingly conflicting aspects of ourselves. But this is exactly what causes a war in the first place. A separation inside us is the beginning of an internal war. It has us ignore the voice of our higher self, step over our God-given instincts, and violate our compassionate heart. Are you internally at war with yourself? Are you giving attention to your inner terrorist? How do you wage war and attack yourself? Do you do it by attacking others, pushing people away, medicating yourself, numbing yourself, neglecting yourself, depriving yourself of the things that matter to you? Is it through demeaning internal dialogue or damaging and addictive behaviors? Do you make choices that leave you feeling unsafe and at risk in some area of your life? Are you embroiled in an abusive relationship or friendship? Are your dreams and future possibilities held hostage by a part of you that is stuck in the pain of the past? It is the work of the spiritual heart warrior to tell us the truth and to shine a light on the darkness of our inner conflicts. We must bring love to these parts of ourselves we've separated from and ultimately reclaim them. To reconnect with our holiness, we must look at everything that stands between us and our God-given right to reclaim and stand unified with our magnificence. We will have internal conflict. It's a part of how we're wired as human beings. But each one of us has been given the divine responsibility to shed light and bring love to all of ourselves, our holy self, our emotional self, and our intellectual self. That's what makes up a whole, the entirety of who we are, the holy enchilada. There is only one antidote to the internal war that so many of us wage against ourselves, before we even get out of bed in the morning. and that antidote is love. No, it's not just love. It's self-love. It includes making the decision to stop putting self-love off to some future date when we've finally become worthy. It's loving ourselves right where we are. And this is available only when we have made peace with ourselves for our perceived flaws, weaknesses, and sins. Here are the questions we can ask ourselves. How can I love myself even when things aren't turning out my way? How can I love myself even when I've made poor decisions and choices, or when I haven't protected myself? How can I love myself even when I'm fat and broke? How can I love myself even when my wife has left me and my kids aren't talking to me? How can I love myself even if I feel flawed? How can I love myself when I feel like I've missed my calling? How can I love myself even when I'm scared to death? How can you love yourself? You can love yourself by knowing that there is no other self. There is nothing else for you to do but truly love your inner self. That's what you were given. That's your job on the planet, to deeply love, respect, admire, and nourish your precious self, the spirit that only you hold. That is the antidote, the answer, and the solution out of which all good things will come. For each of us, I believe it takes a shift in perception where we truly understand that there is no more time. It's not going to happen next week or next month or next year. We cannot wait for things to get better, because they won't get better while we're still beating ourselves up emotionally and psychologically and continuing to wage war against ourselves. And how can it get better if we surround ourselves with others who aren't in the presence of our greatness and are not willing to see the greatness in themselves? We have to set a new standard for ourselves, where loving kindness, compassion, and acceptance replace judgment, ridicule, and rejection. We have to demand from ourselves a higher level of care, respect, and emotional integrity, and then look for friends and a community that hold us there. When we choose to lay down our internal arms and stop participating in self-induced war crimes, we begin to heal. So how do we stop the war? How do we lay down the weapons of negative self-talk, internal criticism, hating our bodies, wishing away our past, drowning ourselves in guilt, reprimanding ourselves with our regrets, beating ourselves up with self-destructive behaviors? There is only one way to begin. We begin by admitting defeat, accepting our powerlessness, and surrendering our right to use any of our internal weapons. In essence, we call a truce. Surrendering to powerlessness. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. When I finally surrendered completely and turned my life over to a power greater than myself, when I was able to feel the extent of my powerlessness, I was ready to let God enter my consciousness. I can tell you now that it was the sense of deep, deep powerlessness that led me to discover my highest life. It was my powerlessness that had me get down on my hands and knees. It wasn't until I knew that there was nothing at all left in the outer world that could save me. There wasn't a strategy, a manipulation, or a control that I could put in place that would help me. It was only when there were no options left and I had bottomed out that I allowed God to enter fully. So today, we realize how desperate we are to have control over our life. How much our ego wants to believe that if we assert our will or try hard enough, if we have enough plans or strategies in place, that somehow we'll be able to reach utopia, heaven on earth. And it's the cosmic paradox, because utopia can only come when we have completely surrendered, when our will is completely out of the way. When God's will and divine consciousness are flowing freely through our entire being, when we are one with God, when we want for nothing else because our will and God's will are one and the same. So in order to heal our emotional wounds, we have to get in touch with the powerlessness inside. All of us have experienced this as children, where we felt powerless or useless, where our environment was out of control. And it was then that our ego stepped in and decided that it would become the manager of the universe, at least in our own small personal universe. So each day, we have to take an inventory of what we are holding on to, what beliefs, thoughts, judgments, limitations, feelings, relationships make us feel like we have some semblance of order, some power, some control over the future. It's only when we can make peace, complete peace with our powerlessness, that we can open the internal space through which the power of divine consciousness can enter. Since it is the child inside us that fights to control our day-to-day life, we must begin by doing a special prayer for that child inside who feels vulnerable in its powerlessness. Most of us think it's ridiculous to take care of our inner child, or we refuse to acknowledge that this child is still alive and strong inside us. But if the child in us is gone, where did it disappear to? Where did the 1, 2, 9, and 12-year-old go? Take a slow, deep breath and see if you can bring an image of the child within you into your awareness and then gently and slowly say the next healing prayer to her or him. Sweet child of mine, dear child inside, I know how scary it is to let go, to release, to feel the devastating effect of being powerless. Powerless over your family, your friends, other kids who might have hurt you or teased you. I understand how desperate you are to feel that you have some power over your life. But today, dear child, I ask that you let go, that you trust in a higher power, that you surrender your feelings of powerlessness to the collective divine power that orchestrates every move in this complex and cosmic dance. It's safe today for you to let go. It's safe for you to acknowledge the devastation and heartache of the past that left you feeling out of control. It's safe for you to turn your life over to the Divine Mother. It's safe now to return to your holiness. So take a deep breath, little one, and open up your heart so that your divine mother and father can rescue you. I see it happening. I see your smiling face. I feel your heart softening and your arms opening. Thank you for this, dear child. I will take care of you now. After you have read this prayer to your inner child, take a few minutes. Close your eyes and see if you can comfort this part of yourself. You have the ability to reparent yourself from the inside out and care for the parts of you that are unhealed and need your attention. After you care for the tender and young parts of yourself, you can then come to this conversation about surrender as an adult, seeking guidance and safety in order to surrender your will. Surrendering into your arms. Dear Divine Mother, Father, Creator of all, take me in your arms and let me know that it is safe for me to turn over my will to you. My deepest desire is to align my will with your will. I love you, God, for the patience you have had with me. I thank you for allowing me to run around and pretend like I have control. I thank you for the guidance you have given me and for allowing me to become the person I am today. But today, I admit that I have come as far as I can with my own will. And I offer my life to you to be guided, to be supported, to be loved, so that I may be the next grandest, greatest expression of your will. In surrendering my powerlessness, I open the door to the greater powers that be to use me and fill me up so that I may support others in filling themselves up. So I accept your guidance, and I accept your will for me. I trust in your plan. I joyously open up to the level of consciousness that will deliver me to you. And so it is, and it is so. Amen. Healing your precious heart. Transform my pain into wisdom, my aching heart into fuel for my future. Grant me the courage today to treat myself like the precious commodity that I am, 1,000,000 pounds of gold. I see it all the time. We look everywhere in the world for love except where we're actually going to find it. We try to find it in our soulmate or partner, in our friends, in our bank accounts, in our public image, in our successes, in our communities, but it only exists in one place, inside us, in our holy heart. And our heart requires so much more than most of us give it. It needs gentle love and compassion. It needs forgiveness. And it needs complete acceptance of its disappointments and pain. Until we recognize this and commit to bringing the light of awareness to ourselves, we have to continue our human rat race of trying harder, getting, collecting, wanting, and hungering for more of something in the outer world. Think about all the times you've taken your holy heart and given it away. All the times you've put your holy heart in the hands of people you didn't really know or trust. Think of all the times you left your holy heart at home alone, just so you could chase something you thought would make you feel better. Imagine you had a precious baby you waited all your life to give birth to. Would you just hand the baby off to anybody on the street? Would you leave him or her for days, weeks, months, or years? Would you subject it to people who are spewing negativity, always pointing out what's wrong with it? No, you wouldn't. And you wouldn't do this to your heart either if you knew its sacredness. You would hold it, love it, and pay proper attention to it. You would worship it and bless it. You would be in awe of it. You would speak the most beautiful, prayerful words to your heart. The following prayer will support you in the process of healing your holy heart. Now is the time. So let's pray. Heal my tender heart. Dear God, help me bathe myself in your love. Help me know you, even when I can't see you. Help me open up to your magic and plant my feet firmly in the faith I need to grow and evolve. Let your tender touch soothe my heart. Let your encouraging words calm my mind. Let your unwavering commitment to my greatest self comfort my soul. My devoted bearer of light, I invite you, please, to visit me in my dreams. Speak to me in my meditations. Touch me through the gentle breeze and sounds of nature. Fill my heart now with the love that will end my suffering. I know you are there for me, so I give you my thanks and gratitude. Devoted Father, Mother, Carrier of Light, I surrender to you today. And so it is, and it is so. Amen. Returning from Life's Heartaches. This too shall pass, and I will be whole again. My heart will be healed, and I will be returned to the loving arms of grace, where I am fully embraced. In the midst of life's heartaches, we must find the eyes to see beyond our current situation. The fact remains that we are going to have tough times. People are going to die. We are going to lose love. We are going to struggle. We can pray until we are blue in the face for things to be different. But most of the time, we are powerless to stop heartache, because it is an inevitable part of life. Creation and destruction, life and death, good times and bad times. If you have a father who is riddled with cancer, there is probably a 99% chance that he's going to die. Praying for him not to, although you could do it, is a prayer that you can't expect God to answer. But what you can pray for, what you do have influence over, is for you to be the strongest, most centered and loving person possible during those times. You can pray for the courage to love through your fear, to allow love in through other sources. You can pray for enough love in your heart so you can grieve in a healthy way. You can pray for your loved one to find comfort, to have faith, to have an easy passing. What you do have power over, what you do need, is the understanding that this is life, that this too shall pass, and that an all-loving grace is with you and supports you in transcending the moment, enabling you to see beyond your current circumstances. The mantra, "This too shall pass," lifts your consciousness so you can look at your life 5 days or 5 months out and know that you're going to be okay. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Suffering, heartache, and agony come from our inability to process all our emotions. If we were to just let our fear be there without any resistance, it would pass us by at some point, like a cloud floating by. If our anger were as welcome as our joy, it would be just a feeling inside us rather than an emotion that takes over our entire being. We would be able to separate from it, observing its nature, observing ourselves, rather than becoming one with it. All emotions that come our way at times of distress are there to teach us and guide us and give us the spiritual wisdom we need to move forward. But when we get caught up in all these emotions, become one with them, allow them to take over our thought process and our right to make conscious choices, we do the exact opposite of what wants to happen naturally. Why do we do this? Because we take all our experiences so personally. We believe that the events of our life are somehow created and co-created by us, and because of this, we become attached to reality as we've known it, and we resist it changing. We become attached to the people in our life, our relationships, and the forms they take. We become attached to outer situations as well as inner states, and this attachment is what ultimately causes us pain and suffering. It's one of those cosmic paradoxes that if we fail to understand, will trick us every time. We are to be open, loving, and inviting to situations, people, and experiences, but we must also be open to losing these same situations, people, and experiences. We could feel pissed off at God for just this alone. How is this fair? Seems like a setup to be open to everything while knowing that at any time it may be ripped away from us. And since it is very human to hold on, it is in our genetic makeup to attach. It makes it even harder to let go. Just when we think we are doing fine, things change. People leave, die, and betray us. We lose a friend, a lover, a job, get taken for some of our earnings, or get snubbed by a coworker. We lose our health, our energy, our dignity, and the elasticity in our skin. With each passing day, we get closer to death, and all the drama of everyday life robs us of being present to what we have right now. We must breathe into that. Ultimately, we must reclaim our power to process challenging events so that we can move on. Yes, this is our opportunity and our challenge. Heartache will give us new life, or it will speed up our internal death, the death of our dreams, our hopes, our joys, and our ambitions. We are in charge of this part of our life, and we get to choose. Go ahead, choose. This is your opportunity. This is as good a time as any to say goodbye to any love you have lost in any form, whether a friend, a job, a lover, a family member, an opportunity, or an addiction. Dear God, may my awareness of what is be more acute than my memory of what was. May my love of what is be far deeper than my regret of what was. Thank you for showing me the way. Amen. Breaking up is hard to do, but God can help us heal and support us in transcending the pain of our broken heart if we let her. Letting go of lost love. I feel lost and alone without you, like a piece of me has disappeared. My heart aches for your touch. I long for you to be near. And even though I feel love for you, today I will summon the courage to let go of you. I will let go of my dreams, my fantasies, and my regrets. I will let go of the could-have-beens, the should-have-beens, and the might-have-beens. I will let go of my longing and my need to suffer over you. I will let go of any and all negative attachments to you. I will let go of my need to have you by my side. Goddess of love, I call on you now. I know you have a greater plan for me, even though I can't see it. I know only you can fill the hole in my heart. So I ask you today to please wipe away my loneliness and wash away my tears, so that I may evoke the courage to cut the cords of my aching heart and replace them with strands of light that connect me to you. Today, I choose to trust in a power greater than myself, to take away my loneliness and hurt, replace them with love and contentment. Today, I choose you, God, Goddess, as my lover. I choose to think about you. I choose to romance you. I choose to seduce you. And I choose to love you like I have loved no other. I feel you in my body now. I feel your love coursing through my veins. I see myself soaring above my fear, above my pain, above my aching heart. I feel you filling me up, dear God, and transporting me to a place of love, peace, and contentment. And so it is, and it is so. Amen. Section 5. Holy Medicine. The ultimate act of self-love. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Every day we must choose to forgive ourselves for our imperfections, for our conflicting desires, for our unhealthy impulses, for our judgmental mind and our critical thoughts. We must choose forgiveness first in order to make peace with the aspects of ourselves and our life that we have ignored, neglected, abused, violated, betrayed, and hated, even in the subtlest ways. We must forgive ourselves for all our personal agendas and our righteous positions, which continue to lead us to believe that we are separate from the rest of the human beings in the world. Because when we are able to do this, we can choose to forgive all those around us. We can then see a bigger perspective, a grander version of our personal experience. If you knew you were God, how would you treat yourself? How would you look at yourself differently? If you knew you held all of life's potential inside your heart, how would you view yourself right now? There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that will give you more of what you want and need in life than forgiveness. Forgiveness of self, of others, and of the world is what returns us instantly to our holiness. And for each one of us, forgiveness is a process. If we are committed to letting go of the past and ending the internal war, the steps to healing our hurt and anger will eventually lead us to, I'm sorry. The love you can give to yourself today is to apologize and say I'm sorry for all the ways you've participated in behaviors and circumstances that didn't serve your deeper heart. This is a personal dialogue between you and the most private, delicate parts of yourself, an intimate conversation written for you and by you. This is where the healing needs to take place. It doesn't even matter if you intellectually understand why certain things will come to you in your awareness. It's about healing your emotional self and the shame you carry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't make better choices for myself. I'm sorry I didn't take the time to make sure I was safe. I'm sorry I stepped over my intuition and refused to listen to the messages of the universe. I'm sorry I didn't ask for help sooner. I'm sorry I allowed fear to guide so many of my choices. I'm sorry I chose fear over faith. I'm sorry I hurt people I love. I'm sorry I couldn't make everyone understand my perspective. I'm sorry I ever made this mistake. I'm sorry I feel so desperate that I didn't take the time to do my due diligence. I'm sorry I didn't have more faith in myself. I'm sorry I hurt myself so badly. I'm sorry I'm not perfect. I'm sorry I couldn't see the bigger picture, and I'm very sorry I let others influence my decisions. I'm sorry I wasn't wise enough to have worked everything out by myself. I'm sorry I didn't know how to stand up for myself. I'm sorry my heart was not strong enough and my ego won out so many times. I'm mostly sorry for the violence I did to my body and psyche. And with this, I ask all the sweet, sacred, innocent parts of myself to forgive me. Once you express I'm sorry to yourself, you are finally clear enough to offer a genuine apology to those around you whom you might have hurt or were hurt by observing your pain. Here is one of my lists of apology. I'm sorry to all the people I have hurt directly and indirectly. I'm sorry for the pain others felt and for the powerlessness they experienced just by being around me. Please forgive me, my friends and loved ones, my family, my coworkers, and my community. To everyone who was on the opposing side of my conflicts, please forgive me for all the ways you felt unloved, disrespected, and uncared for by me. And lastly, You must apologize to your spiritual essence, the part of you that wants you to have it all, be it all, the part of you that suffers as you suffer, or at least shakes its head in disbelief as you flounder around in your own private little hell. For me, it was that I needed to apologize to God. I am sorry to God for losing faith. Please, God, forgive my unhealed heart and give me the power and the courage now to forgive myself. Self-forgiveness. Dear God, I have been so hard on myself. I have carried the burden of everything I have done in my life that I regret. I have shamed myself for all my imperfections. I have shamed myself for doing too much and for doing too little. I have shamed myself for being too flawed and for being so gifted. I have shamed myself for the good I do and the good I don't do. I have shamed others as I have shamed myself. I have ignored my inner needs to serve others, to gain approval from my outside self. I have sold my soul and stepped over my own boundaries to try to gain love and respect. I have used others to try to fill up the deep hole that resides inside me. I have made stupid choices, reactive choices, in an attempt to not be inconvenienced or feel the pain of right action. I have tried to do it all on my own and have held unreasonable expectations for myself and others. Today I ask that you support me in laying down the brutal bat that I use to beat myself up. Today I acknowledge that when I beat myself up, I rob myself and others of the experience of my God-given gifts. Thank you for the courage I feel right now to make the right choice. The choice to forgive, to let go, to surrender, and to find compassion for my scared young child inside. Today I choose to see the part of me that acts without thinking and speaks without questioning as the sensitive and terrified child she is. Today I claim the power to reparent this wounded child in a healthy and empowering way. I choose to open my great, big, beautiful, God-loving heart to her so that I may forgive her completely for all the sins of her past. I forgive them, and I forgive all of myself now. I feel myself letting go of all my self-induced, torturous, internal messages. I hear solitude instead of noise. I feel peace instead of heartache. I feel gratitude instead of guilt. I am free now. I have chosen love over war. I forgive, and I am forgiven. I now stand with you as brave, bold, and fearless. And so it is, and it is so. Amen. My Holy Heart. My Holy Heart, I offer you the love and compassion you deserve. My Holy Heart, I give back to you all the energy I so generously put out to others. My Holy Heart, I hold you as the sacred, precious jewel you are. My Holy Heart, I am grateful for every feeling you experience, every pain that passes through you, every moment of joy and hope. I love you like I love no other, because I know you are imbued with the richness of the universe and the light of God right now inside me. And when I embrace all of me, I will be able to love all of you. I let go of old regrets and resentments from the past, and I become present with this radiant diamond in the center of my being. And so it is, and it is so. Amen. Just breathe into that. You have a jewel. You are the jewel. Treasure yourself like 1,000,000 pounds of gold. See and acknowledge your heart, and then notice what happens in the outer world. This is one of the most potent antidotes in existence for addressing the great pain in the heart of the world. Forgiving God. I have suffered through many dark days, falsely assuming you would abandon me. My anguish and rage have clouded the truth, but my precious heart still beats for you. One of the biggest blocks to reconnecting and deepening your trust in God is your ability to admit your anger and disappointment toward the divine. So before you begin the prayer for forgiving God, I want to encourage you to open up to the possibility that you may, in fact, be angry at God. Most of us were taught to fear God, not to hold God responsible for the pains of our past. But I believe that most people today are very angry at God. If you think about it, this makes so much sense. What good is a God who is supposed to be there for us, to answer our prayers, to protect us, to take care of us in times of distress, and then doesn't show up? Most of us have gone through so many hard and traumatic experiences, whether we've suffered through addiction, health crises, molestation, or physical violence or emotional abuse. We've been disappointed. We've been let down. We wanted God to be there for us, but she wasn't. We believe that the way God should have been there for us was to shield us from these things happening to us in the first place. But this is one of the hard, cold facts of life. God can't protect us from evil or from karmic experiences. Some things are simply meant to happen in order for our soul to grow and evolve. We need to have human experiences, including experiences of heartache and pain, in order to open up to the highest expression of ourselves. When we don't look from a broader view at the wisdom of our human experiences, we naturally get angry at God. When we see all the suffering, all those who are going hungry, it's natural to be angry at a power we believe should be able to save us from these hardships. This anger is okay. We don't have to hide it. We don't have to beat ourselves up over it. We don't have to pretend it's not there. I was blessed to see firsthand what happens when people allow themselves to express and then release their anger at God. Several years ago, I had the honor of leading a 3-day intensive shadow process workshop with my good friend and author of Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh. Neil loves to talk, so he did most of the talking and I led most of the processes. We were a perfect match. The room we had rented for the weekend was in an old church in downtown La Jolla, California. We had brought our sound system with us to ensure that we had the music and the acoustics to deliver a powerful experience for those who participated. On the second night of the workshop, I decided to lead the group in an anger process that always dramatically shifts people's lives. A little more than 100 people were in the room, and we gave each person plenty of space and a blindfold so they could do the exercise safely and without being self-conscious about being watched by others. One crucial part of the anger process is the music we play. It's in 4 distinct stages of intensity. We play it very loudly, and it helps get everybody into the energy of their unprocessed rage. Neil had already done a great job at introducing what we were going to do, including giving everybody permission to be angry at God, at least for the evening. I then took them through an internal process to open them up to all the times when they had thought God should have been there for them and wasn't, and all their prayers that had seemed to go unanswered. By the time we were ready to start the next part of the process, I had the participants pretty pissed off. So we started the music, and I was speaking loudly into the mic. People began doing some deep breathing, chaotic breath, as it's called in the anger process. When it was time for people to let out their anger in words and screams, to voice out loud their rage, the music suddenly and inexplicably stopped. This is actually my worst nightmare, because the music is so important to the process, and I half expected people to stop their catharsis when the room suddenly fell silent. Instead, for the next 20 minutes, this group of 100 or more screamed so loudly, crying, yelling, admonishing, and spewing their pent-up anger toward God, that nobody even noticed there was no music. The cries of pain and rage were so loud that we could hear nothing else. In all the years I've been leading the shadow process, 5 or 6 times a year, I've never witnessed such a powerful anger release. When we finished, I asked everybody to find a place to sit or lie down on the floor. As they found a comfortable spot, I could still hear the sobs of many broken hearts. I then led the group in a forgiveness prayer. We began asking the all-loving presence to enter our awareness, to show us that she was there. By the next morning, there wasn't anyone in the room whose life hadn't been changed. No one could believe the amount of anger they had carried toward God. No one could believe the depth of rage they had experienced, and only a few could believe how great they felt after giving themselves permission to voice their anger at God. Acknowledging our anger is the first step. Forgiveness is the step that sets us free. Unburden me. Dear God, I have been very angry and disappointed with you. There have been so many times when I needed you, and I don't believe you were there. I have watched terrible things happen in the world, and horrible things happen to me that I believe you should have stopped. My heart has been heavy with the anger I carry toward you. My desperate pleas to you seem to go unnoticed, my calls unanswered. You left me when I felt I needed you most, and your perceived absence has robbed me of my faith and my connection to the universal good. But today, I acknowledge that you are by my side, that you grant me greater understanding of how you work in my life. Today, I ask that I see the ways you have tried to show me you were there. Today, let me look through divine eyes, rather than my small individual eyes. Let me see the ways you are in my life, rather than focus on the ways you are not. Let me know you as the loving grace you are. Give me the understanding to know that you cannot save me from all the evil or pain I will meet, because this is part of the human experience. Let me understand that love is your way, and that I can always return to you for that love when I'm scared. Let me know that the power you are, and I am, can be tapped into each and every day, to give me the courage to face life as it is, not as I would like it to be. Let me know, without a shadow of a doubt, that your love for me is real, and that you will protect me through my instincts, inner urges, and outer roadblocks. Let me recognize your gentle voice like a nudge from a good friend. Grant me the courage today to forgive you, so I will have the ears to listen to you and the eyes to see you. I powerfully choose to forgive you, God. I love you and release my grudges now. Thank you for your generous nature and for allowing me to express myself so completely. I am now able to see beyond my narrow human perspective and understand that everything that has happened to me is ultimately serving me in becoming the grandest, greatest version of myself. I accept that version now. I gracefully allow my connection with you to strengthen so that I may know myself as the powerful force I am. I feel it now. You and I together in the name of love for the good of all people. I thank you for this. And so it is, and it is so. Amen. Here is another forgiveness prayer that my good friend Cliff Edwards, a longtime senior coach and trainer at the Ford Institute, wrote. I love it.